the book of Acts chapter 16, let me begin this morning by asking you a question. Okay? And I want you to think about this. Put your thinking caps on. Okay? If you were the devil and you wanted to lead people away from God and towards yourself, of course, how would you go about it? What would you do? Think about that here. I heard the word deception. Let me ask you the question. If you were the devil and you wanted to lead people away from God, would you attack them head on? Come at them, you know, nose to nose? And would you threaten them with what you're going to do to them if they don't turn to you? If you don't turn away from God, I'm going to do this. Would you do that? Why wouldn't you do that? No. Because most of us, if we were met head on, would know that's the devil and we would run in the other direction. Okay, well, think about this then. If you were the devil and you wanted to lead people away from God, would you perhaps seduce their hearts with fantastic promises that would make their eyes grow wide? And my goodness, the devil has promised me caviar nights and champagne dreams if I follow him. Remember that TV show? I can't even remember the guy's name, but it was the Life of the Rich and Famous. What if the devil was to promise you the life of the rich and famous if you followed him? Would that be worth it? Perhaps you would tell half-truths. You know what a half-truth is? It's a whole lie. Maybe you would tell these half-truths that are designed to confound and confuse the mind and the heart. Or maybe you would go after the young ones, you know, the children, and you would pull them away from God and make them believe that church just isn't for the cool people. I don't know about you, but I find the coolest people in church. Do. Maybe you would fill kids' minds and hearts with anti-God sentiments. Or perhaps you would start in the public schools and you would indoctrinate them at a very young age about the truth behind your theories and indoctrinations. You might even attempt to convince young people that God doesn't exist. How many of you would say, I know without a shadow of a doubt this morning that God is? Well, in a group of people like us, everybody's going to say, yeah, we know. Then why are you going to say that? Because you're the ones that are here. You're here to meet with God today, amen? And you're here to worship God today. But do they do that in our schools? No. You might even make your devilish ways look so entertaining that people line up to see you on the movie screens and on DVD players or at the bookstores. Last week we learned about a woman named Lydia. If you were here last week, you remember we learned about Lydia last week and how she was a God-worshipping woman. But she didn't know Christ. She would go to this prayer group that met by the side of the river there, and she was a God worshiper, but she didn't know Jesus. And we asked the question, is it possible to go to church and even worship God and not know Christ? Is it possible? Well, we know that ultimately the Holy Spirit opened her heart to Paul's teachings. And she did receive Christ, and she was baptized, and her whole family was baptized. But that wasn't all. The church of Philippi started in this woman's house, and it spread from there. What an amazing story. But can you guess who didn't like this stuff? Guess who didn't like this development? The devil didn't like it. He didn't like it. The devil. And it's almost inevitable. You know, and it's like every time we start making some kind of a move that's progressing towards better things in Christ, Satan moves in. And he's been doing this for years. said, don't feel like you're the Lone Ranger if this happens to you. That's what he does. If you have your Bible open to Acts 16, we're going to be reading verses 16 through 18. Everybody got 16:16? We read, once they were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. And she followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. And she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. I want to start off this morning telling you about the damsel and the python. The damsel and the python. The King James actually refers to this young woman as a damsel. How long has it been since you've heard that? Probably since the last time you read, you know, one of these fairy tales from the Middle Ages, you know. But this young woman, a damsel, had a python. It says in verse 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer. Okay, who's the we? Well, number one, you got Paul. You have Silas. You have Timothy, whom they have picked up along the way. And then there's the one who refers to himself as we. We know that the book of Acts was written by whom? Luke. So you have Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. And they're going down to this place of prayer where they met Lydia before. Okay? Down by the river. Why were they praying and worshiping God down by the river? Because there wasn't a synagogue yet built in Philippi. Why wasn't there a synagogue built there? Because they couldn't find 10 faithful men to build the synagogue around. So these women were meeting down by the river. And please note, it says here, once when we were going down to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave. Please note that. Okay, they didn't just run into her. They didn't go looking for her. She came to them. They were met by her. You got that? They did not just accidentally run into her. The woman has, as a King James Version calls it, a spirit of divination. Now, in your NIV, which you probably have in your lap, or if you've got one from the pew rack in front of you, the NIV calls it something different, calls it a spirit by which she predicted the future. But it might interest you if you were to look at the original Greek, it would say exactly these words, that she had a spirit, comma, a python. Okay? A spirit, comma, a python. Now, how many of you know what a python is? Okay. Probably wouldn't want one as a pet. Would you? If I was to tell you that the word refers to the same thing, would you be surprised? A snake. Okay? It refers actually to the same thing. The same term. A spirit, a python spirit, whatever you want to call it. And you say, what in the world is a python spirit? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because it's actually something that comes from ancient mythology, and it is mythology. And I want to start off today by just giving you a very brief lesson in Greek mythology. Okay, everybody ready? Everybody listening? Got your thinking caps on? Remember, this is mythology. This ain't really the way it works. But in Greek mythology, there is a place called Pytho. Okay? And this mythological place called Pytho is guarded by a dragon. And the dragon's name is Python. Got it? So Pytho is guarded by a dragon named Python. And please listen carefully. There will be a quiz on this next week. There was a day that came along that this dragon was guarding this place called the Oracles of Delphi. You might have heard that if you know anything about mythology. But this dragon named Python is guarding this place called the Oracles of Delphi, and I don't want you to get confused about this, because in your Old Testament, you're going to read the word oracle. It has nothing to do with this. In the Old Testament, the word named oracle means a burden. In this case, the oracles of Delphi are something totally different. In this case, the word oracle has an occultic definition. And the term was used to describe a place where witches and mediums would go to meet with demons. And they would go to meet with these demons, and these demons would give them information and revelations. And so the mediums that met with these demons in this place called an oracle, in this case the Oracle of Delphi, would walk away with somehow the supernatural knowledge, which they also referred to as an oracle. So an oracle could be a place or a revelation. Okay, am I making that clear? Okay, so keep that in the back of your mind. And to make a long story short, along comes the Greek god Apollo. Apollo does not like Python, and so Apollo slays the dragon Python. And according to mythology, when Apollo slayed the dragon Python, Apollo received the powers that Python had. Okay? And he had the ability to read the future because of it. He could tell what the future was. So, remembering the fact that these people way back in these times really believed that these mythologies were true, and they actually did believe that there was a god named Apollo and all this kind of stuff, understand that the term Python means any kind of medium contact with the mythological god Apollo. All right? It's any kind of contact with the mythical god Apollo. And so this young lady then, who was certainly one of the priestesses from Delphi, who are called Pythons, okay, because they were plugged into Apollo, right, comes along and she intercepts Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. Now, I want you to remember, okay, you and I know that she wasn't plugged into Apollo. She was plugged into something demonic, making her believe that she was talking to Apollo and getting information from him. We know that it was Satan or one of his demons. That's just the way it works. Satan is a deceiver, and he will lie to you. And people would come and they would consult with this young woman, and she would tell their future. And people would pay in order to have this woman tell them their future. Now, think about this. Who is this woman really plugged into? Apollo? Who is she plugged into? Satan. But here she is, following along behind Paul and his group, saying, here are these people because they are the ones that can tell you how to be saved. These guys are telling you the truth, etc., etc., etc. Why was that so problematic to Paul? Was she telling the truth? Was she telling the truth? Yes. She was. But if you look back in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, we are told that we should watch out for mediums that chirp and mutter. Okay? That's what it means. Watch out for mediums who chirp and mutter. What is that all about? Well, here's the cool part. There's this thing called the Septuagint. How many of you know what the Septuagint is? Okay, three of you. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. Okay? It's the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. So now if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, have you ever heard of the Septuagint? You're going to say, yeah, I know all about it. It's the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. And you'll be looked at as a Bible scholar. But here's the cool thing. In the Septuagint, the word used to translate the practice of chirping and muttering in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, actually comes from the Greek word engastrimuthos. Engastrimuthos. And that is the word from which we get the word ventriloquism. Did you know that back in Bible times there were guys that did ventriloquism? Just like today? You know, the guys that used the dummies and blah, 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 blah. Back then, ventriloquists were called pythons. Think about this. Python becomes synonymous with ventriloquism. Ventriloquists were called pythons. And so you're thinking, so what? Well, do you know what a demon-possessed medium is? Do you know who she is? Where he is? He is a dummy. That's being spoken through by a demon. Okay? Everybody got that? He is a dummy for a demon ventriloquist. Speaking through that individual. That's right. This woman was nothing more than a howdy-doody. Howdy-doody being spoken through, okay, by a demon. So Isaiah 8:19 tells the Old Testament Hebrews to stay away from ventriloquist demons who speak through humans. And you're thinking, oh man, I'm so glad that that was then and this is now. Aren't you? Good thing that kind of stuff doesn't go on anymore, right? Does that kind of thing happen today? You better believe it does. And here's a few modern day pythons. Jean Dixon. She wrote a book, My Life and the Prophets. It should have been P-R-O-F-I-T-S, because she made a lot of money doing this, but she spelled it P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S. A woman named Jane Roberts. Anybody heard of Jane Roberts? She actually came from Elmira, New York, right up near where I was born and raised. And she had the ability, she said, to be spoken through by this individual known as, don't get nervous about this, named Seth. And this demon named Seth would give her revelations and she would give them out and people would come and pay her to tell them things. And there's many more. I can name a few more, like Sylvia Brown. Sylvia Brown was very famous on TV for fortune telling. And here's one that's going to make you mad at me, but I don't care. J.K. Rowling. Who's J.K. Rowling? She wrote the Harry Potter books. And the devil speaks through her. There are vehicles through which demons speak. And I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, oh no, Pastor Buzzkill. I read my scopes. I read my tarot cards. I read my Ouija board and my Harry Potter and all that kind of stuff. And it's never caused me any problems whatsoever. Why don't you just let me have some innocent fun? Right? Is it innocent fun? I want you to know right now that I am a big believer in innocent fun. Matter of fact, I am Mr. Fun Guy. Not to be confused with the F-U-N-G-I-I, which is plural for fungus. I just happen to like fun, and I like to have fun probably more than, well, most people. I mean, I like to have fun to the point where people have come to me and said, you don't act too much like a pastor, you have too much fun. Well, thank God I do. And those poor guys who don't. But why would a child of God, a Christian, folks, ever dabble in occultic nonsense? Why would a child of God ever defend dabbling in occultic amusements? I have told people that J.K. Rowling was giving witchcraft lessons through Harry Potter, and people look at me like I've got another eye right stuck in the middle of my forehead. Why can't you just let me have some fun? Well, if that's the kind of fun you want, then it's what you like. Why do people defend this kind of stuff? Because they like it. It's a trick of the adversary, folks, and there are many people who fall for it. Remember this. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. You cannot be a friend of the world and be a friend of God. And that word you see translated in that verse that says friendship with the world is enmity with God comes from the Greek word cosmos, and it means the world that Satan rules over. So this young woman was a source of income for these men, a bunch of men who would own her, and she would go around being paid for her soothsaying services. And by the way, the original word for soothsaying that you find in your Bible is the word mahi no mahi, which means to rage. So it says here that this young woman was a soothsayer, but if you look at it in the Greek, it means she was a rager. She would fall into this trance-like state and rage as she told the future. That makes my skin crawl. I don't know about you. But this was the damsel and the python. She was inhabited by this demonic spirit. And she believed that she was getting information from the gods. But we know who she was really getting her info from. I want to talk to you quickly also about a picture of enslavement. Now, you might say, well, you know, she was an unusual girl. She was enslaved. Certainly we're not like that. Is that true? What if I was to suggest to you that anybody without Jesus Christ is enslaved by sin and therefore the devil? What if I was to tell you that people sin, that is, the Christless masses sin because they are slaves to sin? Would you accept that? Well, if you don't, I got a book I want you to read. It's called Romans. Read Romans. We need to be rescued from our bodies of death. Paul said so too. Oh, who will free me from this body of death? And the answer was what? Jesus Christ. Why did he need that? Because he did the things he didn't want to do, and he didn't do the things that he should do. Oh, who is going to free me from this? And the answer, of course, is Christ. If we don't have Christ, we are enslaved by sin. I know some of you right now are thinking, no, I don't know about that. Because I know some people that aren't Christians, and they're good people. How many of you know somebody who doesn't know Jesus and they're still nice? We all know people who don't know Jesus, but they are still nice people, right? But do you know that Jesus knew some people that were very law-abiding? Extremely law-abiding people. And he referred to them as whitewashed tombs and dens of vipers. They were known as the Pharisees. Okay? The Pharisees were considered by the people of their day to be very righteous and models for us all. Everybody should be like them. Look how devout they are. They go out and they pray on the street corners. Look at them. They spin around in circles as they're praying, which they did with one hand raised to the sky, one hand, you know, down like this. When they gave their offerings, they would go up to the trumpets in the temple. There were these big things with necks on them. And they would take their coins and they would drop them from way up here into these offering plates. Why? Because they wanted everybody to hear how much they were giving. They were really, really good at keeping the letter of the law while they forgot all about what the law meant. As perfect as they were in performing the letter of the Old Testament law, Jesus called them children of their father, the devil. Harsh words. Yes? Ladies and gents, listen to me. Are you listening? If you have Jesus, you are free. He who has Jesus is free indeed. The devil's still going to lie to you. But you're free from him. This girl was a slave. She didn't know Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know Jesus, you are free. If you don't know Jesus, you are not free. There is no liberty apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. Amen? This girl was a slave, and so is every woman and every man who does not know Jesus Christ as the Savior. Everyone who does not know Jesus is enslaved. So this young woman, followed by Paul and Peter and the whole entourage, she's following them around, and as she's following them, she's crying out, "These men are the servants of the Most High God. Listen to them, because they're going to tell you how to be saved," which is the truth. Right? It is the truth. Let me ask you a question. Why would Paul get mad at her for telling the truth? Can you guess why? Why do you think that is? Why would he get mad for telling the truth? Well, what if I was to say, and you may be thinking about this, why is Satan speaking to this girl and telling the truth? If she is so satanically filled and full of this, you know, satanic nonsense, why is she telling the truth? Because Satan lies, right? So why is it that she's telling the truth? How can that possibly be? Well, I'm here to tell you, Satan does this kind of thing all the time. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says that Satan can appear as an angel of light. Not just him, but all of his demons can appear as these angels of light. Yeah, I'm alive on Facebook. I read my Facebook page every day. I see stuff people are writing. It just drives me absolutely bonkers. And people who are churchy people, who listen to these occultic messages that are coming from the Archangel Michael that gives them these revelations every day, and they've got these pictures and all these things, and when it's 11:11, you know, you're supposed to pray and you're going to get good luck because Michael the Archangel is going to do his thing over you. And it's like, come on, folks. The truths of the Bible are so simple. Follow Jesus. You'll be blessed. End of story. Thank you. Satan, folks, has been doing things while invoking the name of Jesus Christ for centuries. You can't say, well, we did this in Jesus' name, therefore it was of God. No, there's people that are attacking Jesus' name to all kinds of stuff that have nothing to do with Jesus at all. And this is one of the things that makes religious cults so diabolical. They will salt their lies and their manipulations with just enough real truth to make it sound like it is the truth. Okay? They're going to make their teachings sound like they're legitimate and biblical because they will salt their lies with just enough of the biblical truth to make it sound legitimate. Okay? Listen to me. That's how people get sucked into cult groups. Because the cult groups will tell them just enough stuff that sounds good in their ears, and they get sucked in. And next thing you know, they've got you hooked, and you're lost in the errors of the cult system, whatever it is. Oh, Pastor, get with that. What about people that say that their occultic gifts are a gift from God? There are people like that. Man, you got me there. I have no idea how to answer that one. What about people that will say, yes, I tell fortunes, but I believe that it's a gift from God? Is it a gift from God? Let me tell you something, folks. God will never give you something that He Himself condemns, because that would be inconsistent with Him to do. He will not give you something that He condemns. Sorry for all of the God made me this way crowd. That includes black witchcraft. That includes white witchcraft. And now the newest thing lately is green witchcraft. All of those things are things that God condemns, and He will not give you gifts in those things. Am I making myself really clear? Can I make myself any clearer than this? Oh, wait a minute. I read my horoscope today, and it told me you were going to say something like that. How many of you have ever read a horoscope? Be honest. Okay? Sometimes they make sense, right? Sometimes they sound good. Sometimes they may be scarily accurate, but they're not from God. So leave them alone. Are you hearing me? How many of you read your horoscope this morning before you decided whether or not you're going to go to church? if you say yes. Do you wonder why Paul reacts so vehemently about this in verse 18? He gets angry. Literally, he becomes so irritated that he walks up to this woman and orders the spirit to come out of her, which it does. Why would he do this if she's telling the truth? Paul commanded the demonic spirit to leave, which is the Greek word exerchomai, which is the word we get exorcism from. He exorcises this demon out of this woman, and he commands the demonic spirit to leave this woman in the real name of Jesus. In the real name of Jesus, he says, you come out of her, and it comes. But why do that if she's declaring the truth? Find her answer. Because Paul knew that the people in the town were going to be listening to this woman, and they would be saying, hey, she is saying the same thing these guys are. She must be legitimate. She is saying that these guys are okay. And if they're okay and she says they're okay, then she must be what? Okay. We can listen to her because she approves of what these guys are doing, what they're saying. Can you see the subtlety behind it? It's a trap. It was a trap, and it was a trap that Satan was using this woman to lay. And let me tell you this. Some of Satan's most aggressive work in the world today is done in misappropriating the name of Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? And let me say this. I have never once seen any of these false teachers that smile so broadly at us from our TV screens come out and say that they are false teachers. I have never heard any of these false teachers that grin at us and ask for our money from the TV screens come out and admit that they're false teachers. They will all tell you what? I'm the real thing. You can listen to me. And if people aren't telling you what I'm telling you, they're wrong. I'm right. So I'll tell you. Oh, I want to tell you a gospel that you're not going to hear in your churches. But here it is. Here's the key to real good stuff. And they will apply to your materialism and your wanting for more stuff and money and all this stuff if you just follow them. And I'll tell you something. Every single one of these false teachers is mouthing things straight from hell. Who am I talking about? I'm going to give you a few names. Yeah, Pastor Buzzkill's ready to go today. Number one, T.D. Jakes. How many of you love T.D. Jakes? Did you know that he is a universalist? Still is. He is a modalist and does not believe that Jesus Christ is God. Still. Joyce Myers. How many of you just love Joyce Myers? Boy, oh boy. Paula White. The Crouches. You know, from the TBN network. The Crouches built a big, monstrous money-making machine of a TV network. Rod Parsley. Joseph Prince. Jensen Franklin. These are all false teachers. Every single one of them will claim to be coming to you in the name of God, while they are under the influence of an adversary who appeals as an angel of light. Oh, but Pastor Buzzkill, don't you know that so-and-so stands up in a pulpit and he talks, you know, it sounds like he's talking about the real thing. He talks about God and he talks about prayer and he talks about all these things. How could they possibly be the wrong thing? Well, what do you expect them to do? You expect them to come out and say, you really shouldn't listen to me because I'm a universalist, but I'm going to tell you anyway? Or, I am a person that's going to try to appeal to your materialistic nature and offer you more stuff if you follow me? Are they going to say that? No, they're not going to. They're going to try to get you to believe that they have the truth. That's why John says that you and I need to test the spirits. We must examine what we hear to see if it is really something from God. We must examine it to see if it's really something from God. This is Satan's most subtle and most dangerous avenue as he works in the world, posing as angels of light. Do you know how Satan gets tares in among the wheat? We're going to be talking about that actually this Wednesday night in Bible study. He gets people to say they're Christians when they're not. And he gets people to believe that people are Christians when those people aren't. Oh, we believe Jesus. Really? How do you think he gets these false teachers in among the wheat stalks? By having them pose as angels of light when they're nothing more than weeds. You know how a weed kills your lawn? How many think it's because they just multiply so fast that they crowd the grass out? Nope. Their roots get entangled with the roots of the good stuff, and they suck the nutrients out of them and kill them. And that's what a tare does. Satan is subtle. Infiltration is job one. Okay? And then he gets outside persecution to come in, and the people crumble. These are the works of the adversary. I know this isn't really comfortable stuff to listen to, but it's stuff that I have to tell you. Jesus is the way and the only way. Keep your eyes on Jesus continually. Amen? Father, thank you this morning for teaching us again the truth. And Father, we thank you for helping us to see that the way of salvation really is Jesus. And we thank you for people like Lydia that saw that to be the truth. And then, Father, you worked through her to influence her entire family, and they came to the truth. And then the church was sprouted there and began in her home and did all kinds of amazing things. Yes, but that's what you do. But we know, too, that there's an adversary that comes to kill and destroy. And I pray, dear God, that if there's even one person here in this place today that is trapped in reading horoscopes and tarot cards and all these ways of divination, Lord, that you would help them to see that there is a way out, that it is a way that leads to eternal life. Lord, if there's even one soul in this place trapped in that, dear God, don't let them leave this place until they come to know the truth. Because the truth is not just information. The truth is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. We thank you for Jesus. And dear God, I pray that not a single person will leave here today without believing in him as the way and the truth and the life and their Savior. For it's in the matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen.